Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio. Radio. About to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. It's 7:05, January the 4th. Good morning. You know, it's on days like this when it's 29 degrees out, or I don't know, how cold is it today, Bob?
I was reading about 27 down in Reading, just north of Anderson.
Yes, when you take that dog out in the morning and you're in your slippers, and the dog, when you put her down on the ground, looks up at you and runs around, bites you on the leg, and runs back in the house. Good morning. It's Carl Bott. And we've got a big show today. We've got Chief Peter Hansen on, and we've got our newest outdoor show, and Frank Lucia here to talk about it. I think you're really going to be enjoying that show that debuts on Saturday morning. So we'll have him here in a few minutes. But you can give us a call at 605-4567, and we are on the chat line at kcnr1460.com, and you're streaming, too, at the same time. So good morning. Linda's not with us. She's on assignment today. Let's talk about the weather. Right now it's 31 degrees, and I think that is untrue. I think it's colder than that. But today we're going to have patchy frost before 10 a.m. Otherwise, it's going to be nice and sunny with a high near 53. High winds around north wind around 5 miles per hour beginning later. Tonight, patchy fog again and frost after 10 p.m. Otherwise, mostly clear. It looks like we're going to have pretty much a nice week, and including Thursday, where it might actually have a high of 56. So this is going to be a good week. So now, I am always joined here by Bad Bob.
And good morning, sir. And the new year just off to a racing start. Lots of interesting programs we're working on with the new radio theater and Frank's new program. That's one of the reasons I love this business.
Well, it is, you know, the radio theater. That's another show that we're working hard at to introduce here. We're going to introduce live theater again back to radio. Live theater, that's right. We've got some of the best actors and actresses in Reading. Have all kind of like signed up to do this show, so we're looking forward to this. We'll be introducing this in a bit. So we've already got a phone line. We've already got somebody on the phones. Charles, good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
How are you doing, Charles?
Oh, I'm doing okay. Yeah, tonight's a city council meeting.
That's right. And I was getting ready to talk about that. It's going to be a big city council meeting tonight. They're voting on. Two of the unions,
right.
Closing the contracts here.
Right, they're going to be reducing the city's CalPERS contribution, but in return, they're going to
give them a raise.
Right, which is of approximate amount, but that's not the reason why I called it item 9A on the agenda that I'm calling it.
Okay, what about 9A? What's that?
Madam Mayor, Missy MacArthur, wants to discuss decorum at city council meetings. The staff report just includes two sentences and doesn't discuss the ideas, any ideas that she may or may not have, and...
So what are you concerned
given,
about decorum?
What Dickerson said at the previous city council meeting about people calling for an REU oversight committee. I'm a little apprehensive as to what may be brought up.
Well, maybe she
now,
means
well, these are. I mean, these people work for us. One would think
they do. And if you don't like who's in there, you vote them out.
There's also this idea, which is founded in the First Amendment, of being able to approach your elected officials and
say what you want.
And to address issues. And so there's a lot of uncertainty there, and
it looks like something then that you need to be there and send us an email on this one.
Uh-huh.
Or give us a call tomorrow.
Yeah, I think Gary's going to be there, too.
Oh, that's right. Gary's got time. He's going to be here tomorrow. That's right. Gary Cadd is our representative to the city council meetings. We haven't seen him in a few weeks since city council hasn't been meeting. But okay. Hey, Charles, thanks for the heads up.
All right.
We got to take a break. This is Carl and the Bot. We're going to take a break here. We're going to come back. I want to discuss a couple other things about the city council, about that vote on the for the unions. Yes, they do. It does. It's starting to look like Measure A and B is starting to kick in. However, there's parts to it that I believe you need to understand also. Also, we have some good news about the VA clinic. It's expanding. Some stuff about, you know, Governor Brown. And do you think they can repeal the health care bill? Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. Linda's on assignment. 31 degrees. It's going to be sunny today, though. Weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Anselmo Vineyards is a destination place. Great lunches, great dinners. Just a place that it's just a pleasure to go up to. The service is just outstanding. And you are treated special. Every time you have a dinner up there, every time you have a lunch, you're treated special. That's in Summel's Vineyards. It's just a short way out of Palos Cedro, heading towards Shingletown. Well, a lot of things going on. You know, one of the things that we were going to talk about was that vote tonight. Yes. You know, remember, Agent B was for our city workers to start paying their health and the CalPERS. Well, under this new vote tonight, and it addresses the city utility maintenance workers and civilian police department workers. They're going to pay 7% for the retirement. That's going to be phased in over a 2 to 4 year period. But they're also going to receive approximately 7% in pay raises. So there's not going to be any money saved up front. And I think you're going to also see the future pay raises in and the other unions doing the approximately the same thing. And as the Record Searchlight said today, it's going to save money in the long run, but it doesn't help us up front. What we're doing is we're taking it out, we're paying the difference that they're paying, so the money is still going out. I don't exactly understand that. Talking with Patrick Jones yesterday, he is having a problem with this also. And so you'll be able to hear that tonight, I'm sure, at the city council. He's going to vote for him, but he also believes that in the future, why are the raises being given? It doesn't do anything for right now. Now, what it does do, though, is, if I read this right, is that both contracts will curb pensions. They won't be and still be receiving full benefits at age 60, vice 55. It should be interesting tonight. I would go there and listen to it. And Charles is upset because he is he's saying is that they could restrict, I think this is what he was saying, was they could restrict what you could say at the city council meetings. Well, the city council meetings do sometimes get a little funny. They get a little abrupt in there. There have been people wearing clown suits in there. Russell Hunt. Russell made the papers today. Russell runs for a variety of offices in the city and was arrested and was charged with falsifying an official seal, I think. And somebody wrote letters and put them on people's mailboxes saying that their garage door wasn't up to code or something like that. Anyway, Mr. Hunt, I see his name and his face in the paper. So what do you think? Jerry Brown, 28 years later. 82 years old. Now, do you remember when McCain was running?
Oh, yeah.
And what they said about McCain and his age? And I think I think Brown's 82, isn't he? Is he 82?
Something like that. Well, how about Reagan? There was a big talk about, you know, here's an old man with his finger on the button, you know.
Well, I don't think. Oh, he's 72. I'm sorry. He's 72. 72. But that was, I think, I think that's old McCain was too.
Yeah.
That was a charge against him. He's too old to do this. I don't know if I believe that. I didn't believe it then, and I don't think Brown's too old. He didn't come across as looking real young yesterday. And he also has said that he's going to cut expenses, and he's not going to raise taxes unless the people vote for it. I find that an admirable quality about the man, if he means it. But what about fees? What about all those fees that can be added on? Oh, we're just going to tack on another fee here.
Service fee.
Here's a service fee for this. Oh, hey, you called the government. You called every time you call Sacramento. That'll be a dollar fee. Could do that. And here's another good one I love. Okay, you know, here's where you get into statistics. If JDR Smiles is on today, and by the way, good morning, Gator and Sharon. And there you are, JRD. Jimmy, the chat people are up. Most Americans say it's okay to tax those people that have busted their butts, worked 7 days a week, 18 hours a day, to establish businesses, to make money. So for them and their families, most Americans say it's okay to tax the rich. That's one of those polls. And guess who took the poll? 60 Minutes and Vanity Fair. Could you have gotten two of the more fair news organizations and magazines in America? Could you have?
Wherever she is, Ayn Rand is laughing hysterically. She's so vindicated.
61% of the people that read these pieces of crap said they would rather see taxes for the wealthy increase as a first step to tackling the deficit. The next most popular way, get it, chosen by 20%, let's cut defense spending. Yeah! You know, Vanity Fair in 60 minutes. You know, 4% would cut the Medicare government health insurance program for the elderly, and 3% would cut the Social Security retirement program. You know, a lot of these people, I don't know where they're coming from. You know, see, the thing that I want to do in life, I want to be a success. I've been a success. I want to continue to be a success. And the idea that I should be singled out and punished for being a success, it just doesn't work for me. I mean, I don't understand it. And the other thing I don't understand is, since 50% of the people, from what I understand from all of these major media markets, don't pay taxes anyway. You know, so anybody that pays taxes, I guess, would be rich to them. And trust me, the reason Obama signed the law in a two-year extension is he knows what would happen if he didn't. The economy, which is already in the doldrums, would tank again. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment today. Phone lines here are 605-4567. All you people used to call, now you're just all chatty. Sharon, Jimmy, Angel, Johnny, Gator. Gosh, they're all there. I think you're all having you're all meetings up someplace, right? Okay. Hey, we're also streaming at KCNR1460.com and chatting. So you can hop in there on the chat room and join us. Now, looks like Anderson. Two things I want to talk about before the break and bring on our guest, Frank Galusha. Anderson Council is going to consider some pretty tough marijuana rules. Anderson City Council tonight is going to consider one of the most stringent ordinances controlling the cultivation of medical marijuana in Northern California. Is that they're going to say you can't grow it everywhere you want. That you can grow it with permission. It's got to be in a smaller area, that you can't have as much as you want. So, and Anderson City Council meeting, that's going to be at 7 p.m. tonight at Anderson City Hall. It should be an interesting meeting. I think it's time that cities should take back. They should take back, you know, control of their cities. You know, when we talk about it, the is it a right to, the medicinal marijuana law. I mean, that's done. It's here. It's, you know, so what? But it shouldn't be to the effect that it ruins other people's lives. And I have people, where people never used to talk about it. When we get together, people talk about how the smell of the marijuana growing, it's, you know, it's pervading their homes, their neighborhoods, and that they never used to have that problem. It seems like to me is that you should be you should have some kind of protection from that. If you're going to grow marijuana, fine, put it out, put it out in some of those areas, rent land, and grow it. I guess, some people say, I have a right to grow it anywhere I want because it's medicinal. I need it. I need that 12 pounds. I need those 100 plants and 3 pounds per plant to get well.
Have you observed, and maybe it's just a heightened sense of awareness, have you observed more people driving very erratically out on the roadways? I certainly have, up on Airport Road and thereabouts.
Have you seen this car parked out in front of where we are today? Did you see where the car is? Some car is parked out there. It's taking up 2 parking spots. Tell me that person parked and actually knew what they were doing. Tell me that.
Well, it's scary.
No. I mean, I thought it was Jim. And I thought, that's not Jim's car. But it is. It's parked. It's been there all night because it's got frost all over it.
If your judgment is impaired, you have no business behind the wheel. And I'm seeing more people driving very
poorly. Indy guy says it's not the marijuana. Skunks eat marijuana. That's why they go in there. That's what you're smelling. Healthcare vote ahead for the GOP. You know, today on the news station that I watch, one of the news stations, I watch them all. It was at Arkansas. Huckabee says that they're putting together a something you can sign petitions that say repeal the healthcare plan, and that's one of the first things that the new Congress is going to do. They're going to vote to repeal President Barack Obama's landmark healthcare overhaul. You can tell who wrote this. This was Ricardo Alonso Zaldivar, and said that he wants to dramatic. This is going to be a dramatic showdown early on. Is that many of the people of this country, after they finally got a chance to see what was in the healthcare bill that many of Congress didn't really even read, they say, let's go back and let's repeal this thing. Let's take this apart. Let's put it back together again and do like we should have the first time. Let's take the parts that don't work, like changing, leaving one job and going to another and losing your healthcare coverage. That's not right. That shouldn't happen. And instead of making everybody in the United States join a healthcare plan, which I firmly believe infringes on your personal rights, whether you want to have a healthcare plan or not. It's not like driving a car, where if you crash into somebody, there's got to be some kind of insurance there. There's nothing that says that I see, even in their business clauses, that says you can force an American to buy a health care plan from the government, because I tell you what, that's where it would be coming from. So, what's going to happen? Odds are is that while they may pass it in the House, it's not going to go real far in the Senate. The other thing I saw in it is that it's going to see just how divided the Congress is going to be. Are they going to be able to work together at all? I don't know if it would be. I don't know if this is the best thing to come in and vote on at the beginning, though. Is, hey, let's just take out the health care bill. Hey, Jay, good morning. We got like a minute and a half.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Hey, we're doing fine.
So, Carl, from now on, you're going to have to buy those pet rocks because the government said so.
There you go.
And then you're going to have to buy from Government Motors because the government said so.
Yeah.
And then that slippery slope, my friend. Slippery slope.
Yeah, it is. And once you get started, it doesn't stop. We go.
Yeah, when have you ever seen a government program that went away?
Well, I'd like them to do is this. There were parts of the health care bill that needed to be fixed. But
right. Not
everything. There's parts in our health care of our United States that needs to be fixed. But to do all the things they said,
they threw out the baby with the bathwater.
That is ridiculous. Hey, we got to take a break, Jay. Thanks for the phone call. Yellow cab,
day.
Yellow cab. Need a cab? Call yellow cab.
2221234.
There you go. Hey, the Carl in the Box, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. Linda's on assignment. We miss her. It's 30, still 31 degrees, heading up to, I think, 54 today. It's going to be sunny. This week's going to probably be sunny, and without a lot of bad weather. It's going to be cold in the morning, though. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Crystal Air. The if 80% of the average household's energy consumption is related to heating, air conditioning, and water heating systems, GeoExchange Heating and Air Conditioning has proven it can cut your heating and air conditioning consumption by 50 to 60%. Give Crystal Air a call at 530-623-1000. That's 530-623-1000. Well, good morning. You know, we are a community radio station. When Linda and I bought KCNR, and it was just a little, dark room with no electricity, and it was filled up with car parts, we had to make a decision what we were going to do with it then. Well, first of all, we had to make a decision: is it really worth it to clean out that room and paint it? And I tell you what, we have never looked back. We have had nothing but great times with this, with KCNR and our friends out there, our community. And we decided up front that we wanted to have community radio. Yes, we do. We have syndicated shows during the week, but our heart of our station is our Saturday and Sunday is our local programming. That ranges from Let's Sell It and Cowbells with Ernie and Dave to well-thought-out pieces on what's going on in our environment. And how about with, you know, Doug Craig, what about healthy living and taking care of yourself, Dr. Trudy Pratt, Nancy Sutton Pierce? If you're going to buy a house, what you need to know, you know, Kurt Largent, and then Psych Talk, Ryan and Katie. You know, and for all of us technically challenged people, Bob and Brenda with Boomer Tech. What can I say about that? Then you've got Movie Talk and Bridal Talk with Don Shulman. Does anybody have the enthusiasm and the drive this guy does? He is so excited about what he does in the movies and how to get married. He's the expert. He's the one that puts on thousands of them. And then we have Genesis Generation talking about morality from an older to a younger generation. And then, of course, Sovereign Minds, our answer to George Norrie. You want to talk to people who've been on spaceships? You got to check in with Sovereign Minds. Or what about those chemtrails? Check in with Sovereign Minds. And now we're starting a new show. We're starting a show on from 6 to 7 in the morning, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. in the morning. And it's North State Outdoor News. And the host of it is sitting right here, Frank Galusha. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, and thanks a lot. Really appreciate, Carl, the fact that you and Linda allowed us to come on and talk to you this morning. I really appreciate that. My family moved here in the early 70s. We've had my brothers coming up constantly. We were attracted to this region originally by John Reginato, who made our outdoor areas famous, and the Shasta Cascade Wonderland Association. And, you know, we just all love it, and I've been here since 1997. I've also loved radio. I've always been in love with radio. Stan Freeberg was my idol when I was a youngster. But I didn't get a chance to get into radio. I came out of print advertising, print industry, and then all of a sudden, about 6 years ago, I decided to go online, and I created a website called MyOutdoorBuddy.com. And for 6 years, we've been reporting the news about Northern California. And it was interesting. The other day I talked to Justin Wolf of Anglers West TV, who is very well known for producing great videos for anglers on Saturday and Sunday mornings. And Justin said, you know what, Frank? I started my program on the radio in Redding with a fishing and hunting and outdoor show. And I said, that's incredible, Justin.
I believe he's over on KLXR, in fact. I'm not sure, but our sister station here.
Well, it could very well be, but he's a great guy. He's been a help to me. And, you know, our program is going to be all about what goes on in Northern California for outdoor fishing and hunting and other outdoor activities. And we're going to be talking a lot about places like what you can fish for here in Redding, in the Sacramento, where it runs right through town, some of the best fishing in the world. We're going to be talking about Shasta Lake and all you can do there. We'll be talking about Hat Creek and the Intermountain area. We'll be covering the Central Valley, northeast corner, which is just a gold mine of fishing and hunting opportunities and one of the most unexplored areas in the state. And you know, we have a lot of help. It won't be just me talking. We'll be getting people from all of the guide services, and many of the bait and tackle shops, all kinds of authorities in the area, and the staff of MyOutdoorBuddy.com will contribute significantly as well. Guys like Gary Heffley, who reports everywhere on fishing in the North State, Reese Soriano, who is up in Alturas as part of the program, she'll be reporting on the northeast corner. Mike Mogler will talk to us about fly fishing. Chuck Giles will be covering some of the Central Valley Lakes fishing reports. Ed Dugan over at the Trinity River, over at Willow Creek, will be covering the Trinity River.
Okay, well, I know, Frank, from reading my Outdoor Buddy, that you've just got a string of experts there. We've got to take a quick break here, and we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about your first show. This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl Lindebaugh, 7:43 in the morning, January 4th, 2011. Bob just had a surprised look on his face. Yes, Bob, we've moved into a new year. I imagine we moved into the year 2000. It took you two or three days to get out of bed because you just couldn't comprehend the fact that you're a century older. Bob? Bob's typing.
Yes. another year older and deeper in debt, to quote Tennessee Ernie.
Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. I was just there yesterday. They've got a splendid, splendid assortment in the big humidor there, the giant humidor you can walk into of cigars. And, of course, Espresso Joe's with any type of coffee bean you can buy by the pound, and then they'll fix any type of coffee you want. Just go to Espresso Joe's. The girls there know how to fix coffee, and they will give you classes on the best way of fixing your espresso. That's Tobacco and Brew. Joe and Shelley, again, done so much for our community. They support the community in so many ways. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Our guest, Frank Galusha. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning again.
And Frank's introducing his new show, North State Outdoor News. And I understand this now is that you're going to cover the state. You're going to have guests in every show talking about it. We're going to be going from 6 o'clock morning until 7. So all of our hunters and fishermen and people that just want to learn something about the outdoors can tune in there.
That's right. And, we've got some great fishing going on right now. For example, the coastal rivers are red hot for steelhead fishing. We've got a bass tournament coming up on Lake Shasta Saturday. It's going to be huge. The bass are a little uncooperative on Lake Shasta right now.
So this is going to be, a bass tournament on Lake Shasta this weekend.
Right.
Now, they have big prizes. Is this one of those ones where people show up and, they've got the million-dollar rigs and all this?
Right. Really? This is the big time. It's one of the biggest bass tournaments of the year.
Really?
Comes at a tough time, too, because the bass aren't biting real well.
What's like first prize in something like this?
You know, that I don't recall, sorry to say, but it's often they get a full boat, fully scaled out boat.
That's big.
Yeah, they get big money.
I understand, and I never realized that how much money was in this, and how much was into the bass fishing. There's these tournaments.
Well,
I guess Bob's over going, oh, yeah, big money.
Serious dollars out there on those boats.
Well, the truth is that fishing and hunting is a tremendous amount of boost for our economy. One of our missions is to help our economy by attracting more people to our many wonderful fishing and hunting opportunities.
And this is one of the things we do have, is we still have good recreation up here. Let's go to the phones here. John, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, Frank.
Hi.
How's everybody doing today?
We're doing great. Hey, John, how are you doing? Happy New Year, my friend.
Happy New Year to you, sir. Yeah. Hey, I got a quick question. Yeah, about 2 months ago, I was over at Eagle Lake with my dad, just kind of putting around over there, and I stopped into the local little grocery store gas station over there, and a woman was telling me about how the water was down at Eagle Lake, which was not real normal for them. It was quite a bit down. I had not seen the lake that way. And she was talking about a situation where the Homeowners Association over there and everybody in that area were trying to get a lawsuit with PG&E about cloud seeding in Shasta County and Plumas County and how it was affecting no rainfall in Lassen County over there, at Eagle Lake, and it was the largest. They weren't reporting the entire year. They had not reported any fish around the 4 to 5 pound range. They were all around the 2 to 2.5 pound range. But I just was curious if Frank had heard anything about that whole deal.
Yes, I have. I think you were referring to the McLeod area where they were trying to seed clouds. Is that correct?
Yeah, she said something about unrestricted amounts and times of cloud seeding that they were doing in Shasta County, and that they had it wasn't regulated whatsoever, and it was starting to affect. Apparently, she said she had a friend that was suffering from some kind of, they weren't sure what disease, whether it be Alzheimer's or something like that, that they were attributing some of that to it because of the aluminum in the cloud seeding or something. I don't know. I didn't have time to go through the whole detail with her, but I was curious what you knew.
That I haven't heard too much about, but I do know that people over at Eagle Lake and that entire area are deeply concerned about the amount of inflow into the lake. We haven't had a lot of rainfall. That entire area has had about a 12-year drought. This year we're fortunately to have a lot more rain, so you may not see so much discussion about seeding. On the other hand, you're right. I think the fish coming out of Eagle Lake have not been as large as we might have liked. But the people that know how to fish Eagle Lake and fish it well, they're doing great.
Does this go back to you, John, as people that really know what they're doing are still going to be able to catch fish?
Yeah. I not being one of them.
Yeah, me either. So, I mean, I'll be
looking. Well, no, I'm a trier. In fact, I'm pretty good friends with Mike Mogler, and I have yet to get out and throw the feathers with him, but I look forward to that here pretty soon. Him and also Troy Gordon, who's a great fly fisherman as well.
Well, Mike, Mike reports for us, and he's a great guy. Lives up in Shingletown, and he loves to fish places like Manzanita and Hat Creek, Balm Lake, and so we'll be hearing.
McCumber.
And McCumber. Of course, we didn't get much planting in McCumber this year. As you know, that was a big disaster because of the.
What are they going to do about that this year?
Well, there's a lot of fish being raised, and Mike just did a story on the Adara Springs Fish Hatchery. We got a large number of young triploid trout being raised. Those are sterile trout that can be introduced into lakes like McCumber. So we'll see fish plants there and in Nora, Grace, and many other places.
Now, see, John, these are the types of questions and types of things that can be followed by people from 6 to 7 a.m. on Saturday mornings to find out where the hot spots are. Like right now, I know we got to take a break, but just in one or two sentences, Frank, where's the best place to fish for trout right now?
Well, the very best place right now is Shasta Lake. We just had a report this morning from Roger Keeling, who fished there yesterday. He caught 60 to 70 fish.
60 to 70?
Yes.
What did he use for? I mean, what did he take them on?
He was trolling 3 to 4 colors down with ultralight lead core, and he was taking them with a Speedy Shiner, red and gold, and he had a few bass as well. So it was just
three to four colors down. What's 3 to 4 colors mean?
Well,
mean? John, do you know what that means? I don't know what that means.
Well, that's 3 to 4 colors of lead line.
Oh, okay.
And that means that he's at a certain depth.
Well, yeah, I knew that, but okay.
So he knows, he sees on his fish finder where the fish are.
Okay, right.
So the trick is to get just enough lead core line down there to get that shiner where he wants it.
Okay, I got to take a break. I already learned more in the last 5 minutes than I know about fishing. So, John, got anything else before we go?
Yeah, tip of the day on lead line, 3 or 4 colors, Phil's propeller, go grab some Dick Knights, pink and white or chartreuse.
There you go.
Okay.
Go over to Phil's.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, John.
Hey, God bless. Bye-bye now.
You bet. Thank you. Hey, John is a good friend of ours. He's also the chef up there at Anselmo's, and just a noteworthy cook. Carl Lindebot, I should say chef. He's gone so far beyond cook. Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott, the home of Free Fire Media. 7:54 in the morning, January 4th, 2011. This portion of the show is brought to you by B&T Satellite, 244-1988. Do not call an 800 number to get your dish satellite. It will go to some foreign person. That foreign person could be living in some place like Texas or Minnesota. You need to call 244-1988, and you can get your free Dish TV HD because there's some rebates going on right now. And by the way, B&T Satellite, Doug Tooley, have moved. Their new location is 1345 Liberty Street, right downtown in Reading. It's that building that's right where the 44 splits is. It's coming into town. On one side, you've got the hospital. And that's it, 1345 Liberty Street. But the phone number, 244-1988, is still the same. Dish Satellite, still great work. Just saw Doug yesterday. He's all excited. He's really busy, really busy. But give him a call at 244-1988 and get your Dish Satellite. Our guest today, Frank Galusha. And Frank and I have been working on this concept of this show for what, Frank?
Well, we started thinking about it in August.
Yeah, I think it was August. And the best way of how to do this, because Frank lives, you know, not here in town, lives up.
Well, I live in Shingletown.
Yeah, up in Shingletown. And to do this correctly, you've got to have the latest information. And to get to from Shingletown, where all of his assets are and all of his reports are coming in and all of his computers, down here was not going to be an easy thing. So we had to work a way out that we could get all this recorded and load it up into our machine so you could have the latest information and plus a hotline to call.
That's right. We're getting the absolute latest we can and putting it out on Saturday morning at 6 to 7.
And now, we've talked about fishing. All right, what kind of hunting news will you be providing?
Well, right now we're winding down much of our hunting season. We're still in the waterfowl season in the northeast corner and in the balance of the state. So we'll be reporting from people like Fall River Outfitters over in MacArthur, the belligerent duck up in Alturas, Modoc Outfitters up in Alturas. Down in the Central Valley, we'll be talking to Kittles Sporting Goods. These people know what's going on. They're close to the action.
Yeah.
But we'll also be talking to people like Brad Hinman at Rolling Hills Casino. Brad knows the entire area very well, and we'll get him reports on the hunting. You know, they have a hunt club down there, so that when the hunting seasons are over, they still can do certain kind of shoots like quail and trap shooting and pheasant hunts. But there's a lot going on, and we still have predators. We have coyote hunts. We have squirrel wars, actually, up in Cedarville. We'll be covering that.
Well, I'd like to be your reporter for the squirrel wars this year.
Okay, you got it.
Because a bunch of us usually go up there, and we have to protect ourselves at all times against the squirrels up there. Now that they've been armed, squirrels are armed. I understand. So.
Yes, they are.
No, it's just not just shooting squirrels. Now it's armed combat. They're coming at us in human wave, or squirrel wave attacks.
Yeah. Well, we have some great stories by Jean Billadoux from up that way. She wrote a book about the squirrel wars. It's very funny.
Yeah, I have that book. In fact. Anyway, okay. Now, Frank, we got like a minute left. Give us your last thoughts here about North State Outdoor News.
Well, we'll cover all of the North State, from Sacramento to the Oregon border, and then we'll cover some of Southern Oregon, especially the Southern Oregon rivers. We'll cover all of the North Coast with reports from Kenny Priest, who writes Fishing the North Coast. And we'll cover the east side, that's the Hat Creek to Eagle Lake, and all the way down to about Lake Berryessa, Clear Lake, and Oroville Lake. There'll be reports like that every week.
So, okay, and so since we stream, you can take us with you on your iPods and everything else. So
that's right.
Okay, well, Frank, thank you so much for coming in today, and thanks so much for joining our KCNR family.
I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It will be a lot of fun. It begins at 6 a.m. This Saturday on KCNR 1460. Now, when we come back from our break, our guest is Reading Police Chief Peter Hansen. We're going to talk to the good police chief about what he sees coming this year, budget crises, number of policemen, anything that may affect law enforcement in our fair River City here. Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
You're listening to KCNR Shasta Reading.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Good morning. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment. It's 8:05 in the morning on January the 4th, 2011. It's 31 degrees. It's going to be it's going to warm up to like 50 today. Weather's always, it's going to be sunny too. The weather's always brought to you by Anselmo's Vineyard. Great place to go to. John Stadelli, the chef, was just on to ask him some questions. He's an avid outdoorsman, and he's even a better chef. And I tell you, RC and Chicken Anselmo, put on a great lunch and a great dinner. The people that they hire up there, they insist on one thing, that you're treated like royalty. When you're up there, that your servers are taking care of you, and the food is always magnificent. That's Seven Hills and Semmel's Vineyards, just a little ways past Palo Cedro before you get to Shingletown. Give them a call. Before we go any further, I need to say something. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Michelle. Happy birthday to you. She is, let's just say that she has kissed the age of 40 at one point. So, happy birthday, Michelle. I said I'd do it and embarrass you on the radio. Our guest today, Reading Police Chief Peter Hanson. Good morning.
Good morning, Carl.
How are you?
Very good this morning.
No, you're looking really preppy today. I mean, you have red tie. I mean, you know, your power tie on and everything.
It's my Christmas tie that my mom bought me for Christmas, so I thought I'd wear it for a few days. And
Mom did a good job.
Yeah, it's nice. Not too Christmassy, but it's nice.
Well, so are you welcoming the new year?
You know, it is. It's very hopeful for all the things that are going to happen this year. It's been very challenging times, but we have a lot of hopes for the good things that are going to start happening pretty soon.
Well, you know, already the questions are rolling in on the chat room. You know, let's can we get a 2 or 3 minute synopsis of what you think is going to happen this year, as far as on the in criminal activity? I mean, last year we had some gang activity that you all put a clamp on right away. What do you think is going to be happening this year?
Well, I expect the gang activity to probably resurface. We have some information that there are some outside the community gang influences that are trying to establish a foothold here. I expect that to probably continue. We've been successful in obtaining a gang enforcement grant from the state of California, so we'll be using that to put more officers out in the field to do gang enforcement. We've also entered into agreement with the Highway Patrol. They're going to be assigning a full-time officer to our gang units. That's really going to help, particularly since our resources at the department are diminishing. So, on the crime front overall, you know, we saw a little bit of an increase this year overall, but a spike in violent crime, which is very concerning. And we'll be publishing our year-end annual report probably by the first part of February about our crime statistics. I think the thing that probably will affect the most people in Reading is that because of the number of officers we have been brought way down, the response times are going to increase. It's going to take longer for our officers to respond to your call for service, particularly on the low-priority calls if you're reporting a theft of property or something like that. It'll just take a lot longer for our officers to get there because we have fewer of them.
How much fewer do we have this year?
Well, when I took office, we had about 120, and currently we're at 98. And so we've lost about 20 or 22 positions, sworn officers. We've lost 40 people or more overall, but about 22 of those are sworn officer positions. So we've lost a neighborhood police unit, a lieutenant, a couple of sergeant's positions, you know, 6 or 7 patrol officers, about 5 or 6 investigators. So we've been hit significantly across all divisions of the department.
Okay, and then the other people you were talking about would be like the community service officers?
Community service officers, you know, we had about 14, and now we're down to 4, and no service officers on the street anymore taking reports. And they really took the bulk of our low-priority reports that people wanted to report things. So that's what's going to cause the increased response times. The other positions we lost were in services and records, our support personnel, to process the volume of reports that we have.
Okay. Hey, we got to take a break here. Our guest is Reading Police Chief Peter Hanson. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio at KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda is truly on assignment today. It's 8:13 in the morning. It's 31 degrees out there. Has not changed in an hour and a half. You know, Chief, one of the things, our guest is Chief Peter Hanson, Reading Police Chief. You know, Chief, less police, less community service officers. What about deputizing people? I know that's not the right term.
Well, we are doing many positive things to try and make up for the lack of personnel. And one of the first things we're doing is we're developing an online reporting system. So within hopefully a couple of months, we're going to be having an online report system where people can and report some of those low priority calls via their computer. And that's going to be available to everyone in Shasta County, including the residents of Anderson and Redding and Shasta County, because we're building a three-way system. The other thing we're developing is...
Would that then be for something like vandalism?
Right, or if your bicycle got stolen, for
bicycle
example.
Bicycle got stolen, okay.
You could go online and report it. You wouldn't have to wait for an officer to come. We'd still have the information. We could still put the bicycle serial number into the national computer and so on.
Okay.
The other thing we're starting is a program where if you need a copy of a traffic accident report, and this really isn't for citizens as much as it is for insurance companies, the bulk of our requests for copies of reports are from insurance companies needing reports. And we're going to be building a system to allow them to access that online. It saves them time and effort, and it saves us time and effort, too. So, but you asked a question about volunteers. And the city of Redding has an extensive volunteer network. And the contact person at the city is Sean Avery. In fact, he used to work for us. And he coordinates our volunteer program for the whole city, and there's many opportunities for people to help, not only at the police department, but in all departments of the city to lend their experience and their services to the volunteer program. Now, the last time I was here, we talked about some sort of a citizen's patrol, and a citizen's patrol can be successful, but in order to have a viable citizen's patrol program requires training. You have to select people, you have to do background investigations, you have to do training, and quite frankly, we don't have the resources for that right now to start a new program, because we've actually cut and eliminated many of our existing programs which were proven. But we do want to do something. So we're in the process of developing a program now that we'll roll out here in a few weeks, which will be similar to a Citizens Volunteer Patrol program, but it'll be more of an extended neighborhood watch, more of a community watch kind of a program. But we're not quite ready to announce that yet. I will remind everyone in town is that as everyone has a cell phone and everyone can participate in Community Watch, and as you keep an eye on your neighborhood and Neighborhood Watch program, I would encourage everyone in town, if they see something suspicious or something that doesn't look right, they can call and pull to the side of the road so you're safe. Get on your cell phone and report what you see. And that's a Community Watch, and I think sometimes people either feel reluctant to call the police, and that's really the worst thing they can do. You know, my mom lives at the north end of Churn Creek Road, across from the fire station there, and they had a problem with prowlers, and they had several incidents, and no one was calling in the neighborhood because they thought we were too busy and they didn't want to bother us, and that really is something that we want to know about so we can go and address and take care of before it grows into a big problem. So I encourage everyone to call and participate in a not only watching your own neighborhood, but watching, helping to keep an eye on the community.
Well, I could see that your department and probably the sheriff's department could do a public service reach out and put together a series of commercials and spots that, hey, this is the number to call. We're enlisting all of you all to help protect our community.
Yeah, great idea. And like I say, Tom Asenko and I have a pretty good relationship, and Dale Webb is very, very supportive. And we could do more probably to promote people, say, don't hesitate to call. And that's also why we're looking at some of these other technology solutions
for
lack of staffing, because it really is impacting us and our ability to respond quickly, our ability to keep crime under control, the sheriff's ability to keep people incarcerated. It's really hurting all of us.
Yeah, just the idea of texting. I mean, this is the way people talk nowadays. The younger ones. So here comes a text, and we got trouble in River City or something.
Yeah,
I don't even know if you have a capability of getting those.
Well, if they text to the right number, I suppose. I don't think we have the ability to receive a text. But if they just flip on their phone and call and say, "Hey, I'm at this location and I'm seeing this and this doesn't look right," we'll try and get people.
We'd be glad to give as much space and airtime to that.
Oh, that'd be great.
I'm very sincere about this. This is our city. And if people can help by just seeing something, and what's that number? Boom. And they see it out there on signs, and they know what it is, that we can help the police department help ourselves a lot during that.
And you talked about what can citizens do to help protect the community. The first thing they could best do is protect themselves, which means lock up your belongings, close your garage at night, make sure your car is locked, and make sure you secure your own property, your own belongings, so you yourself don't become a victim. You know, if you need to, get an alarm on your home, but take steps to protect yourself. The next step would be to help protect your neighborhood. Keep an eye on your neighbor's homes. If you see someone suspicious in the neighborhood or something that doesn't look right, call it in. And, Neighborhood Watch was really a formal system of an informal society where we're keep an eye on each other as neighbors. And that's all it was. It just helped neighbors to meet each other and become organized. But you can do that. And then as you go out in the community, businesses can make sure they have proper lighting and security and alarms and that sort of thing. Anything that can act as a deterrent.
Well, what about, Chief, what about classes for people? Do we have the ability to add? I'm sure there's former policemen and officers out there that would volunteer, I'm sure you can vet them, to give classes to people on how to best secure their homes. In fact, we're going to run a series on urban survival. This might be something we all might want to throw on there, too, is how to best secure your home.
Yeah. Well, there's, obviously the Internet is a valuable resource for steps. We have great security companies in town. We have great alarm system companies in town that can help you with doing a home security survey. Our crime prevention unit, unfortunately, had to be eliminated due to budget cuts, so we don't offer that home inspection service anymore. But we are looking at retired officers to help us with some volunteering services here in the near future.
I think that'd be great because I know that a lot of them would like to do something like that, still be a part. And
the other thing is that in addition to our own officers who have retired, we have many, many retirees who are police officers in other communities, and we're hoping that to expand those retired officer volunteer services in the future.
So what number would they call now?
For?
If they said, that, hey, you know what, I'm a retired officer, and I'd like my name to be put down on a list if you're looking for volunteers.
Oh, call the police department and ask for, call 225-4200, and that information will be referred to my office, and we'll start developing a list of people that are interested in volunteering.
Okay, now, I've had John on the line here for 5 minutes. John, I have to take a quick break. We'll cut it short, and when you come back, it'll be your question. Thanks for waiting. This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Got Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, 8:23 in the morning, January the 4th, 2011. This portion of the show brought to you by BNT Satellite. Doug Tooley has moved to 1345 Liberty Street, right in downtown Reading. It's that right where the 44, if you're leaving off, it's between Shasta and what, Tehama there?
Yeah.
Shasta and Tehama. His phone number is 244-1988. Dish Satellite, he does a great job. He's the one that put it into our house. We've had nothing but accolades for Mr. Tooley. That's BNT Satellite, 244-1988. Don't call that 800 number. Call 244-1988. Our guest is Police Chief Peter Hansen, and we were talking about volunteers. We were talking about a number of things, but now we're going to go to the phones. John, good morning. Thanks for waiting.
Good morning, Carl. How are you this morning?
I'm peachy.
Good. Chief. You know, I watched the Shasta County mugshots, and it's like watching a rotating slideshow over and over, same faces, same charges, same failure to appear. Do you foresee any method of changing or improving this? And it seems like some outside-the-box type thinking is absolutely necessary here, this rotational thing of just having the same people through over and over and over again with the same things is just nonsense, and it's expensive.
You're right on multiple counts. First of all, the reason that the revolving door is occurring is that the county, because of their budget situation, was forced to close a section of the jail, but also forced to close their work release program, Crystal Creek, and some of the facilities they had to keep low-risk offenders. And so what's happening now is that anyone that is arrested for a nonviolent crime gets released almost immediately, and then they go out and reoffend almost immediately, and then they're rearrested. That's expensive for us because every time we arrest someone, we have to pay a booking fee, and
right.
Then they get released almost within an hour. So, unfortunately, everybody talks about the sheriff in Arizona being able to open a tent jail or something like that. That's prohibited in California by law. It can't be done.
When you say a nonviolent, is that what you said, a nonviolent crime?
Yeah,
so that could be meth. Any type of drugs?
Drug offenses.
Like DUI?
DUIs have to be held for about 5 hours by law, and then they can be released. But
petty larceny?
Larceny is theft. Burglaries, felonies.
Somebody can break in your house. You all catch them as they're running out with your stuff. You check them in. They're out in the street.
Absolutely. And there's been lots of people that we've arrested and rearrested and rearrested. In fact, we've done, five, six, seven, eight arrests over the course of a year on the same individual. And what happens is these charges will eventually stack up and work against the guy. But unfortunately, in the meantime, those property crime offenders will go out and reoffend and reoffend and reoffend. And that's where it comes to the community to start protecting their own property by making sure everything's locked up and secured.
Well, John, does that answer your question?
Yes, but I'd like to ask him just one more,
sure,
if I could.
Sure.
About the, and it's in the chat room, but it's also something I've been concerned with. How about these red light cameras? There's been some very, very successful challenges to their legality down in Southern California, and I understand some of the challenges are coming up here. The constitutional right to face your accuser is one part of it, and the other part of it is the ongoing certification of the cameras and whether or not they're constantly up to date. I understand there's been some problems with the reliability of the camera up on Lake. Is there anything you can talk about it, Chief?
I don't know specifically about the camera on Lake Boulevard, but I can talk about some of the problems with the other agencies that have happened.
I'm going to take this off the air if you don't mind.
Okay, John.
Thanks, John.
Thanks.
The first issue is that many agencies install these cameras with the sole interest of a revenue generator to make money. And we've always adopted the attitude that's a faulty premise. And we install the cameras to reduce accidents and improve safety. And in fact, since those cameras were installed at those intersections, our accidents are down, 30 or 40%, which is our big thing. It's never been about revenue for us. In fact, we're in a non-profit-making sort of a situation. We lose money on those cameras, but we've improved safety and reduced accidents. So that's really good. The other successful challenges have been who issues the citation. And many cities contracted with a company out of Arizona, and the company in Arizona was issuing the citation. And we don't do that here. We have retired officers who work for us that review the film, issue the violation, and that if you wish to face your accuser, you can do so, and you'll actually be talking to one of our retired officers. We'll go to court, and you have the right to confront your accuser actually in court here. So our system and our contract with Redflex is different than some of these other communities that have gotten in trouble over this issue. But we've done it specifically for the purpose of improving driver safety and to reduce accidents. So we think it's been a successful program for us.
We have a traffic alert from listener Jay that apparently the traffic light northbound Hartnell at Cypress, the light is stuck, and it's starting to stack up traffic. So if you're heading that way on the way to work, you may wish to avoid that area until they get it sorted out.
Well, okay. See, who says we don't have up to the minute instant news of what's happening on around us? You know, the question the traffic lights always comes up. They always come up on this the photo lights, and I know that the company collects X amount of dollars, and the city really doesn't have to pay anything.
Correct.
And unless it goes over a certain amount, so
right.
So it's not like you're gaining $10,000 a light every month.
Yeah, we're actually losing money per month in each intersection.
Well, people are starting to learn.
But
here's the other thing is, I'm coming up to that, and I'm looking at that guy behind me the whole time.
Right.
Because, that thing changes, and you start to hit me when I got 30 seconds left. I'm just not sure that guy behind me is seeing that.
Well, we found that there has not been an increase in rear-end accidents, and the number of accidents at those locations have dropped dramatically.
Right.
And that was the goal.
Okay, great. Hey, Carl and DeBott, our guest is Police Chief Peter Hansen from Reading. Join us after these messages. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Home of Free Fire Media, Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It is 8:34 in the morning. The phone lines are just full. But this portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue, D.C. Tim and the Man in Black. If you're a veteran, you get a discount there. They already have great prices. They give great haircuts. They're not going to buff your nails. They're just going to cut your hair. They'll shave around your ears, your neck. When's the last time you had that happen? And gents, man's last stronghold. I have seen women in there. They're always treated like ladies, like they should be. And they bring their young male to the barbershop. Get a little bonding going on there. But that's Cypress Square Barbershop, man's last stronghold, right off Athens Avenue. Our guest, Reading Police Chief Peter Hansen. We're just having a great time here. I tell you, you can't imagine. If you've got a computer, go to KCNR1460.com. jump into the chat room. You can listen to us, but you can also chat as many of our people are doing. But now let's go to the phones. Ed, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm fine, Ed.
Hey, my question for the chief is, I got one of the red light tickets, and I went to court, and I was found not guilty in court. I kind of disagree with you on pretty much every assertion you made about the benefits, but one thing that I think that's in your jurisdiction, I know you didn't pass the law instituting them, that was the city council, but I think you do control the way they're administered, and I think it was a waste of time for the city and the judge to take me to court, because when I went to speak to the person, and as you said, they're retired highway patrol officers, or I think this gentleman was one. The problem with assembly line tickets like this is the poor guy, he told me how many, I think it was 100 and something he had to do that day. He just didn't have time to talk to me about it. And so I think he probably would have, if he heard the situation, use his discretion, and I wouldn't have had to go to court, but he didn't have that time. So this was a year and a half ago. I just wanted to know if you've done anything to improve their working conditions, or if giving them the time to talk to the people come in, or if you would in the future.
Ed, great question. Actually, since that time, we've hired a third officer to do this. So we have three officers doing this now, which helps to spread out the workload, as it were. And if you do get a red light violation notice in the mail, you can come down and meet with the officer or one of the officers to review the violation, and then you can decide if you wish to proceed to court processes. So while we haven't really instituted much of a change in our process, we have hired an additional person since a year and a half ago to help spread out the workload. And I think one of the advantages of the red light system is that the red light photo system is that if you do get a notice in the mail, you can go onto the website, you can view the violation yourself and actually see the photographic evidence, and then you still have the right to come and talk to the officer and ultimately go to court. And in your case, you've demonstrated that you have the right to, you know, go to court, and the judge can make a decision about guilt or innocence.
Okay, Ed. Thanks.
Yeah, well, as to that photo evidence you mentioned, again, this was a year and a half ago, but there was the red flex system. I want to point out that, you know, the problem with when you accept a prepackaged program like Red Flexes is, in my case, the photo evidence had been edited by the manufacturer of the system to not show the pertinent parts of my infraction. I had to go to court and talk to the commissioner and point out why the photo evidence was quite misleading. So I just think that you ought to take that into account. If you designed a system to try to enforce the law as an officer would enforce the law, it wouldn't look anything like the Red Flex system that Redding uses, in my opinion.
Okay, Ed, thanks. Hey, Ed, by the way, you might want to put online just how you beat that. Probably a lot of people,
well,
a lot of people would pay you for that.
It'll take a whole show to go into it. You think about red lights as being simple things. They're not. They're complex.
No.
And
I know. You've got to look at time. Yeah, well, hey, we got one more person on the line here.
But, I got you. Thank you.
Hey, Ed, thanks for the phone call. Okay, Kay, good morning. Kay, good morning.
Hi.
Hi, you're
Hi,
on.
Hi, Carl.
Hey. You got a question for the police chief?
Yes, I do. I was calling about the intersection at Shasta and Pine Street, where there have been a lot of accidents. I mean, they almost go into members first. And what I've noticed at that intersection is there's so many things that you can do, so many, you know, and you have to be in this line if you're going to go this lane if you're going to go here, and that lane if you're going to go there. And there's a lot of decision-making that you have to make. And the yellow light really isn't long enough. I think there needs to be a longer yellow light, and I think that would help so there wouldn't be so many accidents there.
Okay, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
A lot of questions there.
Okay.
First of all, Shasta and Pine is a combination of state highway and city street. And so that intersection, the design of the intersection in terms of how traffic flows is all integrated in the flow of all the downtown traffic, which is controlled by Caltrans and by the city of Redding. including the length of time for the yellow light. That is set by a state law, and that depending on the speed limit for that particular roadway, the yellow light has to be a certain length of time. So that's a little predetermined, but that intersection and many of the intersections downtown, while they appear to be confusing, they're designed to help traffic flow through the downtown area smoothly and with the least amount of interruption. But unfortunately, I think what happens many times is that downtown Reading, with all the one-way streets, is somewhat confusing, and you can really tell when you have someone there who's unfamiliar with it or out of town, and they come down. It's a little confusing, but it is designed to help traffic flow through the downtown area smoothly, and most of the time it does work. But unfortunately, you know, we have traffic accidents. Some people get in a hurry, or they're not paying attention.
Okay, thanks, Chief. We've got to take a quick break here, and when we come back, I want to address a couple of things. Lots of questions going on through here, and I'm trying to jump in here, too. But one of the things we want to talk about is a new building. And one of the comments is, great, you know, where you're at is disgusting. And the other is, what about the Good News Rescue Mission and crime around there? Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Good question for Steve.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media, 8:45 in the morning. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda is on assignment. Hey, you know, this portion of the show is brought to you by Mike's Music, right off there on Cypress Avenue. You know, here's the thing about Mike's Music. It's a local music shop. And with Mike, you go in and you buy an instrument, they will make sure that you have lessons on that instrument. Now, many other places really do that for you. You buy an instrument, and you can get some lessons right there from real pros. Just give them a call at 243-3774. That's Mike's Music. And, you know, Linda goes down there. She rehearses. She does a lot of work down there. She comments all the time about the professionalism of those gents down at Mike's Music. So our guest is Reading Police Chief Peter Hansen, and we're having a great time. I can't even get into all the questions that have come through on the chat room. And in fact, about the chat room, somebody even here said, you know, tell a friend about our chat room. This is a perfect place to get, I mean, almost go one-on-one with whoever's in our studio that day. And we have just really great questions coming up. But, hey, Chief, let's talk. There's just so many here. Let's talk about the possibility of the police department moving into a new building.
Well, there's certainly a need. You know, just over New Year's Eve weekend, a part of our ceiling collapsed from the rain. And fortunately, we didn't lose any computers or any evidence, but I went into the office just yesterday, and the ceiling tiles had collapsed and fell on a guy's desk, and a lot of his paperwork was affected. And the roof is a major problem. And so the building is, you know, 70-something years old. It's not to code. It probably has some dangerous aspects to it now. The real problem with getting into a new facility, whether it's building a new building or retrofitting an existing building, is the cost. And the city council is very supportive. In fact, I had a meeting with the mayor yesterday, Missy MacArthur, and she's very supportive of the new police facility. But it just comes down to priorities and funding. And, you know, we've closed the fire station. We've had to cut back on many of the services that the city offers. And it's going to come down, as the city starts to recover, what are the priorities? What do we rebuild first? And the long-term goal, I believe, the city council and certainly the mayor are to get us into a new facility. But, you know, do we start restoring public safety staffing first? And that's very much on my mind, and I know on the mind of the fire chief.
Okay. So people first, then facilities.
Right.
And yeah, but I tell you, I've been in there before, and one of our people in the chat room said, I've got a closet bigger than your briefing room.
Well, there's humorous stories. They're really not funny, but you know, last year a drinking fountain caught on fire, and we had to call the fire department, and it was funny. And but it's sort of sad when that happens. You know, the little electric motor that keeps the water cold.
Oh, I thought you meant when you turned it on, there's flame coming.
No,
out.
No, but it really isn't funny because you look at. The facilities for the employees are just not up to speed, and it really is a substandard facility. And there are some sections of it that are very nice and some that are really, really substandard. And I'm really concerned about employee safety as well as proper evidence storage. Now, I would hate to see a criminal case jeopardized because of damage to evidence.
The ceiling falls in and destroys paperwork and all that.
Or valuable evidence or DNA evidence or something like that.
Absolutely.
Really critical.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those times you wish you had that magic wand, huh?
Yeah. You know, but, whether it be a new building, which would be the ultimate goal, or a retrofit building of an existing facility.
Something to move into that gives you the room.
Yeah, the district attorney's office now is a really great example of a retrofitted building that works very well, great design.
I think that was the final thing I heard on it, was looking at a retrofitted building, but, you know, they've got to come up with the money to do something like that.
And that's the hard thing. In this very, very tough times, it's just we're going to have to wait.
Right. Before we take a break, one of the comments was, good news rescue mission. Amount of crime around that is that true, or is that people just assume that?
Well, there is a substantial amount of crime in that section of our community along that Highway 273 corridor, South City Park, in that neighborhood. And part of the problem is that we have a large transient population. And while the Good News Rescue Mission and other social service networks in our community provided very valuable resources to help those people in need, it also tends to draw more people to our community that may have gone someplace else. So it's kind of a two-edged sword. They do great things. They provide great resources. They help people get back on their feet. On the other hand, they tend to draw more people in here, and some of those people aren't respectful.
Are criminals.
And are not respectful.
Let's just say it. They're criminals, and they're there to take what they can from our community.
Right. So, it's a bit of a blight. So, not the Good News Rescue Mission itself.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
But, because they have, education centers there, and they do a lot of really great things. But it does draw more people to the community of the transient nature, and that does cause a crime problem.
Okay, we've got to take a break before we come back to our last segment. It's Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio. Our guest is Reading Police Chief Peter Hansen. Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment today, 8:53, January 4th, 2011. And our guest is Reading Police Chief Peter Hansen. I'd like to make an announcement today. We've been talking is that once a month, the police chief will be back here on KCNR so that we can have a monthly update of what's going on with the police and any of the situations that's going on. We've got thousands of questions here we never got to. It's been a long year. 2010 was a long year, and now we're starting out in 2011, but there's a lot of positive things that we have going on.
Right. It's been a very difficult and challenging year because of all the personnel reductions and a loss of our ability to provide services to the community, but there are some positive things that have occurred, and we're looking forward to next year. One, we talked earlier about some of the technology things we're going to be providing for the community. We got a gang enforcement grant from the state, which will help us to put more officers out enforcing and keeping an eye on gang members. A new collaborative relationship with the Highway Patrol. Part of the gang enforcement grant will also provide some funds for the Youth Violence Prevention Council to continue with their youth intervention programs, keep them out of the probation system. We also got the federal stimulus grant to keep an additional four officers from being laid off. So, our situation could have been a lot worse. But, next year we're hoping as the things start to improve around here, we'll start to rebuild the department, and with the rebuilding to try and provide more services that we've had to cut back on.
Well, we've had comments here that they want to extend the show for an hour. They have more questions. I don't think we can do that. I bet I could do that. Could we do that?
Talk Radio Network might say something about
it. We don't have to tell them. We'll just go on and we'll just do our own show for another hour. What's the use of having a radio station if you can't make the rules? But in other words, one of the other questions that came in, those are positive things, Chief. And one of the questions that came in was thanking you, one, for your service and you answering all the questions today. Medical marijuana. Have you noticed a change in more arrests? Any change in crime because of that?
We haven't. There has not been an increase in the number of people arrested for marijuana possession. We've had very little to no problems with most of the marijuana collectives. My only concern is that, you know, it still continues to violate federal law. That conflict disturbs me. I think a lot of people are misusing medical marijuana when it's really not necessary. But the system we have in place, the process we have in place, seems to be working. I just worry about the reputation of the community that we're becoming this marijuana-friendly town. And I think that's bad overall. And I just think overall that it's still a narcotic, it's still a drug, it's not being addressed appropriately by the federal government. And, you know, I'd like to see it change. Unfortunately, you know, my job is to follow and enforce the law. And the law as it is right now is that that's allowed, and I think people are abusing it, but we're going to do the best we can to monitor it.
Yeah, my son-in-law was just up from New Mexico, Deputy U.S. Marshal, and he's never even seen a cooperative, and it's legal down in New Mexico also, and he said there may be one in the whole state, and so I showed him a couple, and he was just, you know, he's just astounded that we have 19 of them, or more. I don't even know how many we have, 19 of them.
There's about 17 or 18.
17 or 18.
Couple of clothes.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's capitalism at its very best. But, yeah, you know, to have that many in the town of 90,000.
Yeah.
What's it say?
Well, it says we got, you know, too many people, and I think people are abusing it. I think that when we all voted, you know, 15 years ago to support Prop 215 with the intent of helping those seriously ill patients, I think the law was poorly written. And it's being abused. I think there's people that are using medical marijuana for recreational purposes, and, you know, or for not serious medical ailments, as I think was the intent. And so, but again, our job is to enforce the law,
make sure
it works. And
we don't make the law; we enforce the
law.
That's
right.
Yeah.
Quick question: statistically, has there been an uptick in people driving under the influence of more than just alcohol?
You know, I think there is. But it's very difficult to detect a person under the influence of drugs, whether it be marijuana or something else. I think there are a lot more people out there driving impaired, even though our accidents are down. You know, we've seen with this latest effort for the Avoid the Six program here in Shasta County that there's still a significant number of people driving impaired. And unfortunately, right, we had an incident the other night that was a very, very serious injury as a result of someone driving under the influence. And
okay. Well, Chief Peter Hansen, thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome.
We appreciate it. And now that we're going to set you up for once a month, so everybody will know that.
I look forward to
certain
it.
Day every month you're going to be here. Our guest tomorrow will be Sam Paredes from Gun Owners of California. And I don't know if he's got good news or bad news, but he does want to talk about it. If you hear that little noise in the background,
it's not the
end
of the world now.
It's our emergency alert system, which is just a check, and it never tells us when it's going to do it. It doesn't say anything bad's going on, though. All right, so thanks for listening today. Like I said, tomorrow, Sam Paredes, and on Thursday, we're going to have Francie Sullivan, and Friday, Patrick Jones. We're going to be talking about charter cities. We're going to be talking about that meeting tonight in the vote, and we're going to be talking about a number of other things, all that concern our cities. But tune in today at noontime, Alana Burke. Get hot with Alana Burke because she's got a lot to say. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
KCNR Shasta Redding.